So from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 13. If I speak in the tongues of mortals and of angels, but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith, if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away all my possessions, and if I hand over my body so that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. But as for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. For we know only in part, and we prophesy only in part. But when the complete comes, the partial will come to an end. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways. For now we see in a mirror, dimly, but then we will see face to face. Now I know only in part, then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known. And now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, and the greatest of these is love. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Let us pray. God of hope, God of peace, God of joy, God of love, be present in this place. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer, we pray. Amen. So there is no doubt about it. Not at all. This is my favorite topic. Absolutely my favorite topic. At worship, yes. In life, yes. At home, yes. Inside, outside, upside, downside, all the time. This is my favorite topic. Love. I love talking about love. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if it started with a young fascination of the idea of love or being loved, or if it was more in my teen years and those dreamings you have of finding your love, right? Yeah, perhaps it was the love that was present in getting married or in having children or in pastoring churches, but this idea of love has been central to me and to my life. When I began in a house that I grew up in, I hope is manifested in all aspects of my life and in my home, that with God's help, I can continue to share love in a way that empowers people to know that they too are loved. In fact, I love talking about love so much, especially because I have been loved by God. I feel like I'm an ambassador of God's love. You know, someone told me that they think that's the only thing I preach on. Every week, she said, you can hear love. When I asked someone about some planning for services, and I said, well, I was thinking maybe that week I would talk about love, and they laughed and said, well, that's what you talk about every week. Good. Good. I pray that every time you leave this space, you know that you are loved. And if you don't, well, then we got some work to do. You know, another person shared with me the difference in the denomination and church that they grew up in and the church that I pastor is that when they grew up, they didn't remember hearing about love so much. I hope our kids grow up hearing about love and knowing about love. Because to me, that is what God is. God is love. I want that message to go in the minds of those 13 young children today. I hope that you hear that too, that church is all about love. Safe, cared for, enduring, walking beside you kind of love. See, it's my favorite. Yeah. In fact, that's the sermon title today. Did you notice? My favorite. Yeah. Yeah. I hope that every time you leave here or you think about, even when you think about your church family, I hope you think about love. I hope that for you, that is the message you hear. Now, I am not sure that that's exactly what Paul was hoping for when he left this letter for us and wrote it to the Corinthians. I'm not sure that he was hoping that we would just think about love and sit here and smile. Too bad. Right? I know that Paul was writing a letter to the people of Corinth, and he was inviting them to be the church. And for some reason, he thought that maybe they weren't being the church exactly the way they were supposed to be the church. And so he wrote this letter to the people of Corinth, and he gave them ideas on how they could be the church. And he reminded them that just because you got to experience Jesus and the people who knew Jesus, the apostles, doesn't mean that you get to just set that aside and do whatever you want. You don't get to fight or have division or treat people unnecessarily. You need to do what Jesus did. Just because he is not here doesn't mean that the message is over. He invited them to quit struggling and to put into action what it meant to be the church. And so in the book of 1 Corinthians, we can read about spiritual gifts. Paul shares with them that each has a spiritual gift, and he encourages the people of the church to figure out what your gift is. Then he asks them to get over their divisions, to set aside what is keeping them apart from each other, and he reminds them to stop acting like infants. Oh. That was life-giving for me to read this week. Paul says, stop acting like infants and behave with the bodies that you've been blessed with, and recognize that those bodies are a blessing and treat them as such. And then he tells them to stop putting unnecessary stumbling blocks in front of yourselves or in front of those around you. Don't stumble on account of just a stumble. Instead, free yourself of your wickedness and spend your time and your energy in that which brings strength to you and to others. And he tells them, that's Jesus. Jesus gives you strength. He concludes with a reminder that all have gifts and that spiritual gifts are what makes us all part of God's body of Christ, that each of those gifts together makes us a whole body of Christ. And then he says, now that you have this awareness that you each have a gift, that you have a spiritual gift, now you are responsible to the Spirit to use your gift. And then can you believe it? It sounds like they started fighting. My gift is better than yours. Yeah, right? And so to combat that, to say that no, not one gift is better than the other, he writes this letter of love. And he tries to tell them that the best, the very best, is belonging to the body of Christ and sharing in the love of Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Amen. The best is belonging to the body of Christ and sharing in the gifts that come from knowing Jesus. And then Paul attempts to remind the people that although no one gift is better than others, this gift that comes from God, real, true, pure love, that triumphs. Now, this scripture is used widely at weddings. One author said, I don't know that Paul was really excited about that, if he knew. Because oftentimes it's words that are just passed about. Or at least that's sometimes how it feels when those weddings don't stay as good marriages. But nonetheless, this reading of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, this grace-filled ode claims that love triumphs all, and it sounds like Paul is reminding us to not get caught up in the frilly kind of love, but instead to focus on the very basic of our humanity, the basis of our humanity, to care well for the other, to care well for each other. Make that be a main element in our life. Then we, those who claim to be part of God's church and the people of Corinth, we can be agents of God's love in the world, not to seek our own advantage, but to work on behalf of others. That once we experience this unshakable graspingness, this graspingness, that's not a word. Yeah, that's okay. You know what I mean, right? This unshakable grasp of God's love, that once that is upon our lives, then we will not only know love, but we will know the source of security, of life, and the greatest gift, love. And knowing that love will give us freedom to be all the things that love is. Isn't that beautiful? A little bit of freedom goes a long way, doesn't it? Freedom to do love. Not just like the February 14th lofty kind of love, right? That's fun too, though, isn't it? But it can be quite flighty or boastful even, right? But instead to just know the fact that God is love and that perfect love comes from God. As a recipient of God's love, as someone who has been told, has been raised, has been grown in the faith, someone who has heard that message my whole life that I am loved, I feel empowered to share that with you today. Sometimes I feel empowered to share it with the guy down the street, right? Or the neighbor who's having a bad day, or even the person who lets me put their trash can away and says, you don't need to do that. And I say, but we really like it. It's fun for us, right? Sometimes I turn at the grocery store and try to share a message of love that doesn't go over quite as well, right? And so I mostly just share it with you, right? That God is love. God is love. Last week I told the kids that message, right? I love you. And I told them I want them to hear that. You know, in the quietest times of our lives, there's something that's going to run through your brain. And goodness gracious, I pray that what runs through their brains is that they are loved. Oh, there's so much other crud that could get in there. So many other things they could repeat that will cause them harm and others harm, and I don't want that. I don't want that for them or for you. So I guess I should pause. If you are someone who doesn't have a positive mantra running through your head, I want you to practice saying, I am loved. You don't have to do it here. I know that's awkward. I've asked you to do a lot of awkward things, but today maybe while driving home, or even if there's a football game on or something, but just practice saying it to yourself, I am loved. I am loved, and say it until you can believe it. And if you have to say it all week until you can believe it, I'm sorry, but just keep doing it, right? And then every time you say it, believe it. Say it till you believe it, and then believe it every time you say it. And hopefully, not only will it calm the quietest parts of your brain and give you some peace, hopefully it'll pour out of you in your smiles, in your gestures, in your caring, in the way that you live and act in this world, in the way that you care for others. Hopefully that message that Paul left for us here will just pour out of you, and you will know, and others will know, that the greatest of these is love. I know not everyone is easy to love, and even those we love deeply are not easy to love all the time. I sometimes am not even easy to love. I know, believe it. Yeah. But I also know that we are still called to share in God's love. And the love that comes from our Creator is the greatest of these. So, let's start our love month with this idea of being loved. Perhaps you have just one day marked on your calendar set aside to share love with someone. That's beautiful. But how about if the whole calendar page was red with love, right? Or pink, or yellow if you're just friends, right? Remember that? Yeah. Yeah, but what if we colored the month full of love and be ambassadors of God's love? Not be noisy gongs or clanging cymbals that just make a whole lot of noise but have nothing behind them. And not be smarty pantses who are filled with facts, but instead be people who are grounded in the fact of God's love. And what if we don't just boast about love and about how we are loved, but use the gifts that we are given to share in love? What if we be love?
Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends.
Love never ends. Amen.